as the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he truly was the true light. There's no light that could light up the whole world like the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought I might continue on in just a few thoughts on that and then go into something else. I'd like to go to the Gospel of John chapter 3 and we'll begin at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The actual word there for condemn is to judge the world. He didn't come to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We see here the words of the Lord Jesus as he speaks, and speaking of concerning the fact that the world is condemned already. He didn't come to condemn the world because the world is condemned already because of sin. Sin brought condemnation. Sin from the garden, when man disobeyed God, brought condemnation to the world. But he came not to condemn, but to save. And when we think of the world, the world in all of its the thinking, the acts of man, and many of the characteristics of the world, we see that it can only reveal the darkness of man's heart. But in the midst of the darkness of man came one who brought true light. Didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ. The true light that came into this world. He shines forth in the reflection of the Father of the true light in this dark, evil world. And evil seems to be more abounding, isn't it, in the world. The reflection of that in man is so evident of the wickedness of man's heart, isn't it? See, the evil deeds of man, the wickedness of man in the world in which we're living. We see it in so many ways, in the TV and in the many of the advertisements and the things that man projects before the eyes of the people of the society is so evil, and it's continually. So it was in the days of Noah, wasn't it? When God brought judgment upon the world. It's the only time that God completely judged the world, is in the time of Noah. The Lord Jesus didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come to destroy man, did he? But there was a time when God destroyed mankind, saved Noah and his family of 8 souls. But he brought judgment upon this world, in which he created. God judged the world, and he destroyed mankind because of the wickedness of their heart. Why didn't the Lord Jesus, when he come, destroy this world and destroy man? He had every right to. But yet, he came to save. If he had have condemned us to hell, He would have been right. He would have deserved to. The wickedness of man is so evident that God could destroy this world at any time and in every right. He has the right. He's God. He has the authority. He has the power to destroy this world. But in the long suffering and love and patience of God, He saw fit to redeem from this evil world a people of light unto Himself. He that believeth in the light is the children of light in John chapter 12. And He calls us children of light, those in whom He has redeemed from this wicked world. He's delivered from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. But He didn't come to judge the world, but He came to save. He came to give His life on the cross of Calvary that you and I might be redeemed. And so we see in Scripture, in the fact that as the Lord Jesus writes, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Even at that time when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, that men love darkness more than light. They loved the darkness of this world, loved the wickedness, the sin of this world, and the pleasures of sin more than rather than light, the deeds of light. And so it is today, the same that we see in the heart of man, in loving wickedness, in loving the deeds of darkness rather than the deeds of light. And how sad it is. And we see the repercussions of that, see the evidences of that in so many ways, that we see the evidence of man loving darkness rather than light. I was reading the few verses there, but the Lord Jesus says that there's a narrow way and there's a wide way. But there's only few on the narrow road. But the wide gate, the wide way, leads to destruction, and many there be thereon. Many on the wide road to destruction. But there's only a few in the narrow and straight way. And so it is. There's only a few who love the deeds of light. For man in general, love the deeds of darkness. Man reaps what he sows, and the path of destruction reaps only darkness, only sin, only sorrow, only troubles. Never lead to a life of light and deeds that are pleasing to God. How we need to follow the narrow way. Few there be that find it. Not great numbers, but there are few who are godly, are saved from the power of darkness. We see that they don't come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved or exposed. They don't want their deeds to be brought before them. They don't want the truth of the deeds that they're doing. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want that. They want to wallow in the things of darkness, which only gets them deeper and deeper and deeper into the path of destruction. How we need today to be true lights in the dark world. We need to be true lights. Lights that bear the truth. Not lights that's half-hearted or that's only for them ourselves. Lights that truly are for God and for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to the dark world. But they don't want their deeds exposed before God. But you know, there's a day coming when they will be judged. This world will be judged. And the ungodly will be cast into the lake of fire. It'll be too late. Their deeds will be exposed, but it'll be too late. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day that man needs to turn to God and recognize the way in which he's going is a way to destruction, and to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as the answer, to be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son, being a child of light before God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'd like for us to look at the aspect of the deeds that are manifest. We come to the truth, come to the light. Our deeds are made known. Who we really are made known. They're manifested, that they are wrought in God. But if our deeds doesn't show the truth, and that they're not manifested in God, then we need to take a look at them. How is my life revealing the truth of God, and that truly my deeds are wrought in God? Are they really exposing that? Is it something that is evident that my life is wrought in God? That it's based, its foundation is in God? Is that evident? And that truly my deeds reflect the light of God in the world in which we're living? And those are questions I need to ask myself as well. How are my deeds reflecting the light of God? That they're based and founded upon the Word of God and what He says, and reflecting His light in the world in which we're living. Let's go to James chapter 2. Subject that we have in James, we see here, is the evidence of one's faith is found in works. Works doesn't save, but works or deeds reflect true faith. In the Gospel of John, we find so many times, I forget how many times it is, we see the word believe or believeth. And John uses that word so many times in the writing of the book, reflecting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus so many times spoke of believing. These things are written that ye might believe. And the word is found so many times in John. But just believing, just faith without works, cannot stand alone. It must have the deeds, must have works, the evidence that one's faith is real and true. The moment we believe, we become a child of light. And our deeds ought to reflect that light to others in the world in which we're living. James chapter 2. I'm going to go to verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith standing alone is not true faith. It must have works. There must be things that prove that their faith is founded in God, that it's wrought in God. The unsaved doesn't want their works revealed. But to a child of God, we need to have our works revealed before God. The unsaved, evil deeds, they don't want revealed. And so, but to the child of God, we need to reveal all before God. And when sometimes when a person gets saved, it takes time for them in growing in the Lord to reveal the works of God in their life. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a change of thinking, isn't it? It's a change of mind, and it's a change of thought. It's a seed that's been planted and has been watered, and it's beginning to grow. And it takes time for works to be made manifest. But there needs to be an evidence of life that is there. There needs to be some conviction and some acknowledgement that something has happened in my life, that I'm no longer thinking of these things. Now I'm thinking upon the things of God and the things of His Son and what He wants me to do now that I believe. So it takes time for works to be made manifest. But nevertheless, there needs to be some evidence that true faith is seen. But faith without works is dead. So there must be something of evidence of works that's been generated through saving faith. And so James gives illustrations of that. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith is evidence by works. And in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then he gives illustrations of Abraham, how he was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that had sent them out another way. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. How important it is for faith to be evidenced by works. Abraham, how he was justified by works and the evidence of his faith in offering up his son Isaac, and willing either even to place him on the altar and to slay him, believing that God would raise him from the dead. What a tremendous evidence of faith, isn't it? believing that God would raise him from the dead. Tremendous conviction of faith before God. And Rahab the harlot, hiding the servants, doing that by conviction, by her faith, believing God that he would protect her. And in hiding those messengers, the men who came to spy out the land, and leading them on another way. An evidence of works that are wrought in God, and evidence of their faith in believing God. We have in Hebrews 13 the great cloud of witnesses that are before us. Men of the Old Testament who suffered much for their faith, who gave their life, and the apostles and men of witness, as we're studying in Acts, and us being witnesses. These men who believed, who dared to believe God and carried out in giving their life as evidence that their faith was founded in God. I think of men in my time, and as I grew up, older men, as they grew older in the faith and so on, stood true to the Word of God, but didn't deviate, but stood true. Men that I admired. But you know, they were the same right on through life, through death. They simply believed the Word of God. And you know, they were a witness in my life. That they were ready to meet the Lord at any time if death should come. That they were a good example of staying true to the Word of God and believing the truth. The world comes with so many ideas and false prophets and the messages that the religious world has to offer. But yet they stuck true to the Word of God and was a good example to me as I think of it. And there are men of this assembly who were good examples to us, who were a good witness in sticking true to the Word right to death. And I think it's important not only how we start in our Christian life, but it's very important how we end. As we enter the presence of the Lord, it ought to be the same. If God's faith that he established in our life and were founded in him can carry on through, it can carry us right on through into eternity. But faith must be evidenced by works. Now, I'd just like for us to go to John chapter 12. I just wanted to touch a little bit on we looked at the works of the Father, the works of the Son, looked at the works of the believer. I'd like for us to look at the aspect of judgment before God. When we think of the fact that the works of the believer, evidence of our faith, it's under his naked eye that our works are judged. It's not by man, not by anybody who feels that they're in authority and can pronounce judgment, but the works of one's life, a child of God, is judged under the eye of God. But one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. We're going to stand at the great white throne judge, or the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be judged for the deeds that we've done in our body, whether they be good or bad. The unbeliever will be judged at the great white throne judgment, in which God will reveal all the secret things of the heart. When Paul writes in Philippians, every knee shall bow one day, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee, every tongue is going to bow. Quite an awesome thing, isn't it, when you think of it? Man whose deeds are evil continually is going to bow before the throne of God, an acknowledgement of who he is, an acknowledgement of their sin, but it's going to be too late. It's going to reveal the secret things of the heart. But we see the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to judge, but he came to save. In verse 44 of chapter 12, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, if they reject his words and they reject the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when they will be judged by the Father in the last day. In the last day of this age in which we're living, the dispensation of grace will come to an end. And man will be judged. But there's another last day that Scripture speaks of as the last days of Israel. It speaks of the last days when God pours out his wrath upon Israel and he judges his own people. Israel is God's earthly people and never spoken of as heavenly bride, as the church. Although a Jew today accepts the Lord as just as much a part of the church as a Gentile. It's neither Jew nor Gentile. But the last days, God is going to judge. He's the ultimate authority. But you know, there's also the aspect that we need to judge ourselves. And I'd like for us to look at 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men, they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, that they are otherwise. They that are otherwise cannot be hid. There are sins that are open beforehand. There are sins in the body that are open, that bear out judgment. And those sins need to be dealt with. There are things that are judged beforehand. And before the body of believers, there are sins that need to be judged in the body. Otherwise, they can become as leaven, and they can fester and cause division and strife. They cause unrest in the life of that one, or whoever it might be. Paul is saying to Timothy that this is so in the church in which he was ministering at. And it's why I need to examine myself, and I need to have short accounts with God. We need to be careful. We need to be on guard in our life. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in prayer before God, so that the deeds that we manifest are truly wrought in God, and they're truly honoring to Him. Because He says the good works are manifest beforehand. They that are otherwise cannot be hid. Otherwise, they'll never be hid. Man may think that their works are okay, that things I do are okay, and what I feel, and my interpretation, and my thinking. But is it in accordance to the Word of God? And what we think we can hide will only be exposed under the naked eye of God. I can't hide anything from God. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only one whose light shines throughout all the world. And under His naked eye, my deeds are exposed. And I don't deserve what God gives me. I don't deserve it. But by His grace, He saw fit. But see, if we don't deal now with the things that we need to deal with in our life, it's going to be later on. He's going to make right later on. He's going to expose them. He's the one. It's not us. But He's the ultimate judge of all things. The works of the believer, the evidence of true faith, the good works are manifested beforehand. I just wanted to I was thinking of the works of service, and our time is just about gone. And the works of service. I was thinking of the illustrations of people that Paul recognized as servants of the Lord, whose works was evidenced in their love for the believer, their love for the Lord, and wanting to serve the Lord. Romans chapter 16, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchura, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of, for she hath been a helper of many and of myself. I was thinking of the works of the believer, but I was thinking of the works of a servant. The evidence of one's faith wrought in God. Not only is it seen in our actions, in our thinking, in what we do, but in our service for the Lord, the evidence of the light, that we're children of light in our service for the Lord. Here's a woman who served the Lord with her heart. She helped in any way she could. And Paul reminds them to receive her in the Lord as becometh a saint. This woman served in any way that she could. She wanted to serve the Lord's people. And she wanted to do that which would be pleasing to the Lord. Her works were manifested in God. And Paul commended her. to help her in any need that she might have, because she was a helper to many, not just a few, but she was a helper to many. And you know, here was a woman who served the Lord faithfully and in any way that she could. And she served many. She helped many. And of myself also. She was a helper to Paul there in Rome. So Paul commends her for that. And we have a number of the sisters in our assembly that are helpers, that are true servants, that help in any way they can in so many areas, that truly an evidence that our faith is wrought in God. It's for Him. It's for His glory, not for man, but it's for His glory. The works of light that we do for the Lord. He also mentions about Priscilla and Aquila, and helpers in Christ Jesus, who have laid for my life, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here were these two ones who were willing to lay down their lives for His sake. And Paul commends them for that. And he gives thanks for them. Here are two who are true evidence of true works of light. And I was thinking of these examples as evidence of that. And what is there in our lives that evidence true faith? Truly that we are in God. Not judging the things in our body that we need to judge can take away the light and destroy the light of the deeds in our body. We need to have short accounts with God and need to be ready to judge our own selves and to judge the things within our body that truly we are right with God and that our works evidence our faith in what we do. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we give You thanks for Your word. And we thank Thee for the simplicity and the things that we see. And Father, we just pray that we might be true, have true faith before You. Our lives might bear forth the works, that our faith is wrought in God, and that our deeds are made manifest in Him. Lord, just help us to be truly honest with You and to be open before You, for we know one day that You're going to judge all things in our body, whether they be good or bad. Help us to be true with You and honest and to serve You with a whole heart and to have evidence of true faith and trust in our life. We give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen.